President Bush and Senator John Kerry have been trading barbs on the issue of rising gas prices, but the weightiest issue hanging over the presidential campaign this week is the search for answers by the 9/11 Commission, specifically the testimony from former counterterrorism chief Richard Clark and the questions about whether certain members of the Bush administration would testify. They said they wouldn't do it, and for days they stood firm, until yesterday when the president appeared in the briefing room with this announcement.
Today I have informed the Commission on Terrorist Attacks Against the United States that my National Security Advisor, Dr. Condoleezza Rice, will provide public testimony.
Public testimony before the 9/11 Commission. Joining us now to talk about this reversal at the White House and other political developments are our guest analyst, E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and Georgetown University, and David Brooks of the New York Times. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
David, what led to this about-face?
Well, I think it was a change of principle. The first principle was that White House advisors should not be forced to testify before Congress on separation of branches grounds. The second principle was they should try to get reelected, and it was beginning to hurt them. And I think they realized that they could not have a debate about the process. They had to try to have a debate about the substance of what happened pre-9/11, and so they did a complete U-turn.
E.J., did the White House adequately explain why they made this 180-degree turn?
Well, I don't think they did a good job because I think it was really impossible to explain because it was rooted, as David suggested, in politics. I mean, the Bush administration from 9/11 through all of 2002 and much of 2003 succeeded in playing a game of whack-a-mole. Whenever a critic would come out, they could whack them. Sometimes there were implications that the critic was unpatriotic and the criticism would go away. They tried the same thing this time with Clark and it didn't work. And so they thought that they could make this work and keep Condoleezza Rice out. The other problem they had is that they put her on practically every network except the Food Channel and ESPN, but said they weren't going to let her testify in public before the commission. It just wasn't going to work. And in the end, it was, I think, Republicans, both on the commission and in Congress, who told the administration, look, you've got to get her out there.
The questions in the 9/11 hearings really strike at the heart of this administration's assertion that they can best protect America against a terrorist threat, an assertion that is certainly amplified in an election season. David, did the testimony hurt the White House and make it harder in some ways for them to make this claim?
I guess I disagree with the question. I think what happened pre-9/11 has nothing to do with what happened post-9/11. I think what this administration did before 9/11 was to be slow to think about terrorism, not to give it the urgency that it required, but they were in keeping with the country. I think the administration should say now, as they should have said immediately when this commission got started, it was pre-9/11 world. Our mentality was different. Since that attack happened, we've done everything that could be done to prevent a future attack. And we may still fail. There still may be another attack. And it's mystifying to me that they haven't taken that up.
But did this hurt them in some way?
Well, if you talk about the polls, no, it hasn't hurt them. The president is about stayed even where he was about a week or two ago. But, you know, it was one government. The Washington Post did a good piece, which follows along a lot of pieces that have been done, which says that the Clinton administration and the Bush administration had very similar policies on terrorism. There were some systemic problems with it, this FBI and the CIA not communicating. There were some real policy constraints about attacking Osama bin Laden and then failing and then maybe boosting him further. There were real problems with being aggressive, and neither administration was particularly aggressive. And to say that, you know, we turned a page in history on that day seems to me the true fact.
EJ?
Well, I think they reaped what they sowed, which is that this is an administration that never wants to admit a mistake, even when admitting a mistake is actually better politically and better substantively. Because they had cast their administration entirely in terms of the handling of terrorism, and that, you know, the president has called himself a war president, that's how they want to win the election, they seem to have this idea that any questions about how they handled terrorism before 9/11 are somehow fatal to this public image. And that's why Clark could hurt them. I cannot understand this modus operandi of theirs, but I think it's so deeply embedded that they can't get out of it, and I think that's why this week really did hurt them.
I don't think Clark can hurt them. I think Clark is now so polarizing a figure. Conservatives and a lot of people, including me, think his story has changed so many times, don't really trust what he says, which is not to say he wasn't fundamentally right pre-9/11. But the commission report, is a serious document by non-biased, honest people, and that does cast doubt on the way the Bush administration acted pre-9/11, as it cast doubt on the way the Clinton administration acted and the Bush administration before that. That's the serious document that can hurt them. To me, Dick Clark is a soap opera that plays well on TV, but is not really the substantive issue which we should be thinking about.
We do disagree on that because I think Clark really did already do damage. And in fact, last week when Senator Frist said that Clark contradicted himself and practically accused him of perjury, what did Clark do? He said, yes, declassify my old testimony. I didn't contradict myself. Clark has come across as someone who actually does want the truth to get out. And I think that is a problem for the administration.
If you separate Clark, though, from the commission, one of the things that is somewhat curious to me is the White House approach to the commission. Time and time again, they've been somewhat reluctant to deal with the commission. They've been less than cooperative. And David, I'm curious as to why the White House has taken this posture.
Yeah, I'm afraid EJ has it right. They are just incapable of admitting error. They did not want to fire Tenet. They did not want to fire anybody in 9/11. They did not want a thorough review. They could have said, I think with some justification, you know, we were slow for 8 months. The previous administration was slow to take up this issue for 8 years. We all, in retrospect, could have done a much more aggressive job. We were living in a different world. And that's true. When you read the commission report, there was no sense of urgency pre-9/11. It was a different universe. And why the administration just couldn't say that right away and say, okay, this is an important issue. We are going to take a full look at this, and we're going to shake up the government because this catastrophe happened. That's what they should have said. They didn't say it, I think, because of the character of this administration, which is an inability to admit a mistake and turn a page.
We spend a lot of time on this issue right now, but in the end, the two things that voters apparently care about right now are national security, or at least safety in their own lives, and the economy. As we get closer to the election, will the 9/11 commission and these hearings, will they still resonate in the hearts and minds of voters, or really does it come down to the economy and real checkbook issues? EJ?
Well, the economy always matters in elections, and at some level, I think the polls will show that economic issues and health care and jobs matter more than national security. But every candidate, especially after 9/11, needs to meet a certain standard on national security. If Bush has a huge advantage on this, it will help him get over the problems he has in the economy. If that is reduced by this controversy, and there's already evidence that it has been reduced, then it's to the advantage of the Democrats, and it pushes more voters to be able to vote on other issues.
I guess I think the people, voters always say they vote on jobs and health care most, but they're always events. And I think the events that happen in the fall are most likely to be related to national security, a bombing here, a bombing there. Suppose Spain had happened a week before the election. Suppose we got another bombing like Spain. Suppose there's a big explosion in Iraq or in Iran or something like that. And therefore, I think it's more likely there'll be events national security related. And this election ultimately, in the last final week of frenzy, will turn on some national security event because people are pretty set in how they think domestic policy works for each party, but they're unset when a new exogenous event happens that has to do with terrorism.
David Brooks of the New York Times, EJ Dionne of the Washington Post, and Georgetown University. Always good to talk to you.
And you too.